Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Trust excellence built on 40 years of experience. Visit zurichcorporate.ie to learn more about the Zurich Master Trust.
Gurmeel Mogath, Fui Shin. Now, tech giants, as you've been hearing, Meta and X and TikTok, are meeting with the EFSIS Joint Committee on Children, Equality, Disability, Integration and Youth right now, discussing protection of children in the use of artificial intelligence. Meanwhile, on RTE's primetime tonight, we'll see the kind of self-harm and suicide content children are exposed to after the show created a number of TikTok accounts, each registered as 13-year-olds. Let's hear a clip from Susan Moss, head of public policy at TikTok, in her opening statement to the EFSIS committee earlier.
Listening to the experience of teenagers is one of the most important steps that we can take to build a safe platform for them and their families. Last month, we launched TikTok's Global Youth Council. It's a new initiative that further strengthens how we build our app to be safe for teens by design. At TikTok, we aim to build responsibly and equitably. And we work to earn and maintain trust through ongoing transparency into the actions we take to safeguard our platform. Because we know that saying, trust us, is just not enough.
And that's Susan Moss, head of public policy at TikTok. Well, I'm joined now by Professor Mary Aiken, who's a cyber psychologist and an expert in this area. Professor Aiken, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you, Cormac.
Can I get you to respond to what you heard there from Susan Moss? It's just a clip. What would you say to that?
Well, you have testimony from a social media company saying one thing, and then you have a research effort by Primetime finding the opposite. So what's true? And, you know, this is the central point to the issue. Who can we believe? Mm-hmm. You know, if an account is set up as a proxy, masquerading as a 13-year-old, and if in the case of the Primetime research, within 20 minutes... that child was dragged into an abyss of suicidal content, of extreme violence, of self-starvation content, self-harm content, then something, the evidence would say that something is going radically wrong online. But we know this, and we have the research to back it up, to say the inordinate amount of young children that are using these platforms. And the Taoiseach, the Micheál Martin, said recently, I believe it was at the Ordesh, mm-hmm. he said, you know, and I'll quote him, he said, to the social media companies, our message is clear. Take concrete steps to get underage children off your apps, or we will impose those steps on you. I would advise the Taoiseach and policymakers, those in government, take those steps now.
But they are taking steps. They say, you heard Susan Moss there from TikTok. They've set up a new initiative, she says, called the Global Youth Council to make their app safer for teens. And they say they want to earn and maintain trust.
I've been, you know, speaking about these issues for, I suppose, what, 15 years now? And I've heard those same promises over and over again. Now, fortunately, we're actually entering into an era of regulation. I mean, 7 years ago, I helped to draft the Children's Digital Protection Bill, which actually made it through all the stages of the Senate in 2018. And I did that with Senator Joan Freeman, really to put a rocket under the policymakers to get on with drafting the relevant Irish legislation. Mm-hmm. And that would protect children from suicidal content online, from self-starvation, from self-harm content. So we've the EU directive on audiovisual media services, which came into effect in 2018. And we were fined in February of this year for not complying with that directive. So Ireland was fined 2.5 million by the European Court because we have not as yet complied with the safety protocols for children in that directive.
And could we have done that easily?
Absolutely.
What would it
have
taken?
We're being fined 10,000 a day. It would take people who actually understand what they're doing, and it would take a focus on what needs to be done and getting on with it. I mean, for example, the Online Safety Media Regulation Act was enacted in 2022. We had Commission Amman, the commission appointed to oversee this, mm-hmm. put in place in January 2023. We were promised the first online safety code in the first quarter of 2024, and nothing has happened yet.
The government would say, of course, that they are acting, that they have established Commission Amman and have given it a remit to go and tackle this. They would also say, for example, the Education Minister, Norma Foley, has brought in social media companies and has been discussing these matters with them. And then the latest threat, if you want, for want of a better word, from the Thánaiste. So they would say they're on this.
I would say it's all talk so far. We have not executed in the way that we need to. We have not held these companies accountable. We allow them to rely on self-verification, which is children signing up and saying, I am 13. Mm-hmm. So how about we look for transparency? How about in the morning we issue a warrant and go in and raid these big tech offices and say, we demand to see your age demographic profile? They can anonymize it to protect any privacy issues. And I can guarantee that in that age demographic profile of the number of people who've signed up to join their platform, I can absolutely 100% predict there will be a huge spike at 13, inordinate to the number of 13-year-olds in our population.
Why?
Because every 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 and 12-year-old will click I am 13. So the evidence is there. We just have not done what we need to do to get to the bottom of it.
So if that were to be the case, right, let's do a little bit of public service broadcasting live here, because we're after listening to the TikTok executive explain how they take child protection safety really seriously, right? And now we're looking at the Primetime report that you mentioned today. Let me read one line from that Primetime report, which we'll see later tonight. 14 minutes into scrolling through videos on a TikTok account that was set up as a 13-year-old. One video appears of a teenager crying in what looks like their bedroom. The text overlaid on the video reads, "Holding it together so my mom doesn't have to sit at my funeral wondering what she did wrong." That's the type of content that you're talking about.
Again, in my work with police frontline, we see this content all the time. And we see content that leads to actual suicide. And the point is that 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, right up to 14, 15-year-olds, that's a very vulnerable developmental period. We were all there. We know what it was like. And to have children deliberately targeted by threat actors online and have these social tech companies profit from this and have a government who is either incompetent or deliberately delaying the implementation of protocols in a timely way and in a comprehensive way. For example, the UK Online Safety Act is much more comprehensive than the act that we have managed to pull together. So,
but they say they have an act, of course. They say they are trying to regulate this space.
Trying. How many years? Between 2018 and now, that's 6 years. How long does it take to protect a child?
But in that space, Professor Aiken, let me put it to you. Let's put the other side to you, for example. There's pros and cons to absolutely everything in life. And there are an awful lot of these tech giants, they have their European headquarters in Ireland. They're bringing an awful lot of employment. They're bringing an awful lot of investment. And in this space of child protection, they're not saying we won't do anything. They are, as I mentioned, the Global Youth Council. And they have a raft of other initiatives as well. Age verification and the pixelation of nude imaging and so on. So they would say that they're actually acting here.
Yes. And as I've said already, it's talk. You know, what are they actually doing? You know, we've been here before when state-condoned organisations exploited and abused Irish children. And here we are again, happening, hidden in plain sight.
There's no evidence, though, of criminality.
There is evidence of the exploitation and abuse of children online. The Primetime report you're talking about provided evidence of that, the targeting of children.
We have to be quite clear in terms of the account was set up as the age given was 13, isn't that
yes.
right? So it, that may be nuanced here, but it may be different to the targeting of children. It's the targeting of an account. Isn't that correct, really?
Well, the account was set up as a persona. Mm-hmm. So, you know, algorithmically, if it's been targeted with extreme content, it's not going to differentiate between... I wasn't involved in the research,
no,
so I have no idea whether they had a proxy or not.
And I'm just trying to be absolutely 100% accurate here, given the sensitivity and gravity of the what we're discussing. But can I talk to you about something which we do know, because you've studied these cases and so on, actual cases of harm, that how children have been harmed by social media content. Can you give us the full range, the extremity of the harm that has been experienced?
Well, certainly we've seen a surge in anxiety and depression in young people across the board, highly correlated with use of social media. We've seen a significant increase in self-harm and self-starvation and in suicidal ideation. In fact, recent stats from the US, which would be reasonably consistent with our population, have stated that one in four young people had contemplated suicide in the previous year. So the statistics are alarming. The potential for harm and abuse online is alarming. And what is equally alarming is that we are being so slow to react to what's happening. So, you know, I've talked about positive, concrete things that can be done to demand transparency of data. I mean, this is bordering on criminal negligence to allow young people to be harmed in this way. And no amount of testimony to the Oireachtas saying, we will do our best, we'll make a new council, we'll put together a new work group, we will double our content moderators. No amount of that can hide the fact that all of the evidence is pointing to children being exposed to risk of harm and very young children using these platforms.
And the US Surgeon General, we discussed in this programme recently, has called for regulation of social media platforms now, I think he said, because of harms as well. But there's confusion as well, Mary, certainly among parents, because whenever we discuss this, whenever you're on the programme, we do get texts from parents saying, we know it's harmful, but I don't know what to do. And let me read you one text. Parents would not give their children the keys of a car in case they harm themselves. Who pays for a child's phone, says that texter. I suggest that parents take back control. And that's from Jean. What can parents do, in your opinion?
Well, what they can do is start getting involved in activism around the issue. You know, we march for all sorts of things in Ireland. Let's see parents marching in terms of the protection of children online and forcing their local TD to get engaged and to do something about it, and not a government dragging its heels. You know, we see great examples. For example, in Australia, Julie Aman Grant, she's the e-safety commissioner there. And I think the key difference, and runs a very, very effective national program to mitigate online harms, and is very active. And I think the difference between her activities and, say, what's happening in Ireland is that she is tech literate. She comes from a technology background. And for me, that's the real gap. You know, I really wonder if the people that we have in place, either at a political level, in government in terms of civil servants, and in commissions that are put together, have the level
of expertise,
breadth and depth and of knowledge to actually understand what they're dealing
with. When is the last time the government consulted you on this? You're an expert in cyber psychology.
Well, I testified at the Oireachtas, and many Oireachtas hearings. The last one I did was in 2022. And effectively, my argument was, okay, you're trying to bring in this legislation, but I've worked with, say, the UK government for the last 7 years. They have a similar Online Safety Act. I was involved in various iterations of that. And effectively, what they did was they built an entire ecosystem, an online safety technology sector that was funded to actually deliver tech solutions to tech facilitated harmful and indeed criminal behaviours online. We have not done anything here in that regard.
It has happened in other jurisdictions, so we don't have to reinvent the
wheel.
Nothing. You say get involved in activism. That's your message to parents. A texter says, activism me I, talk to and monitor your children. jumping to activism is just propping up a lobby industry. I know you're disagreeing with that. Can I ask you, though, at what age would you give your son or daughter a smartphone?
I think just to answer the question of parents keep an eye on your children, again, some recent research that I was involved in, we found the majority of children surveyed had covert profiles on social media.
What does that mean? No, sorry.
Proxy in different names. And some of them had up to 3 or 4 proxy profiles on one platform.
To hide from their parents?
Absolutely. So the point is, when a parent says, you step up and do your job, well, if a parent is shown an account and the kid says, here's my Instagram or here's my TikTok account, and it's their fake account, how does a parent then become a detective and find all the hidden accounts where the child is allowed to engage in cyber feral behavior online? Because there is, you know, we see these behaviors because there's a perception that nobody's in charge. The reality is no one's in charge.
Okay. So can I ask you this? I'm a parent. Let me just imagine this for a second. I'm a parent and I have a young teen, let's say, who I know is addicted to the smartphone. I know is on social media far too much, might be anxious, might be depressed, whatever the range. What do I do?
You have to get involved in ensuring that the policies are in place to ensure that these social tech companies protect children in an age-appropriate way. There's a big difference between a 15-year-old in terms of, you know, critical thinking and a 7 or 8-year-old.
But do I take the phone away immediately
No.
to save my child?
No. No. I mean, the point is, it's not, the relationship is not about the parent, the child and the phone. This is a policy regulatory piece. We have to make sure that our government and the elective representatives hold big tech companies to account. In the US, they're suing them. TikTok is getting sued in the US.
By?
Class and group actions, which we actually don't have here, in terms of children who have been harmed online. So we're seeing this up and down the US. We're seeing state by state action against social technology companies. So it's not up to parents to enforce regulation about children, young people driving without a license or buying alcohol in a bar or accessing cigarettes.
So this is policy and regulation.
Policy and regulation. It's okay. The only way forward. And what parents can do, of course, there are lots of self-help resources, mm-hmm. but parents should not be left to paddle their own canoe in cyberspace.
Okay.
The companies that are monetizing the attention of children and profiting in this space have to be held accountable.
Professor Mary Aiken, cyber psychologist and expert in this area. Thank you very much indeed.